Ladies and gentlemen, we are live with the Hughes Sports Podcast for December 11th, 2023. I am your host, Jake Hughes, alongside the old man. Old man, how the hell are you doing today?
I'd love to say I'm doing fucking awesome and everything's perfect, but I can't say that today. It's been just a day.
Today's been technical issues galore, but we'll gloss over that. Because we have a really big show. We have a
really big
very
show.
Special, very, very special guest. We have Wyatt joining the show, so let's bring him in without further ado. Wyatt, welcome to the show. You guys might know him as the Stanchion everywhere. You read Canucks Army, Provies, Athletes, everywhere. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. I was getting past the COVID, a little tired. Other than that, I feel good. I feel it's a nice day, so excited to talk to you boys.
How is it going, Wyatt? We've talked on Twitter, on message, on Twitter, email, and it's good to finally meet you.
Yeah, it's good to meet you guys. It's always fun, I think, to reach out and kind of talk to the community guys. Like, I don't know, I came up from the bottom, so I like talking to anyone, and just like if people have a passion for what they do is always, you know, my favorite thing. So I always remember how some of the old school media didn't treat me the nicest when I came up to the industry. So I always kind of keep my roots of like, just, you know, yeah, that's who I am, right? I just like to talk sports with people.
I want to ask, because 2011 obviously was a special time for any Canuck fan. That's when you got your start, is it not?
I got a start, I guess, from that infamous Kevin Bieksa goal. Like, I wasn't much on Twitter, but then I had an account, just a regular account, and I was like one of those things where I had like maybe like three followers. I think I got like one like once, and I was very excited. That was a big day for me. I was like, oh my God, one guy liked it, which I think was accidental in hindsight, but I got the like. And then, yeah, Bieksa got the goal, so I thought, oh, it'll be fun if I just like created a fake account, so, like based off like the Stanchion that got hit by the puck. And it was very Stanchion based humor, like, you know, oh man, like, you know, my back stiff today, like all this stuff is all purely jokes about being like a metal rod. That's all it was. And people loved it because like people are happy and excited. Got like 900 followers. I'm like, my God, I've never lived life higher. This is the greatest day of my life. And then I was like, but I don't want to do Stanchion jokes the rest of my life. That's just too much. I don't have that commitment in me. I only think there's so much ground I can go with Stanchion jokes. So I transitioned into just like talking about hockey, because I'd always been posting about hockey on HF boards and I've always loved hockey. So I was like, oh, let's start dancing with like hockey talk. So I switched to that. And I remember like people were like, mostly receptive, but then there were like a handful of people who were like, no, man, I came here for the Stanchion jokes. I don't like this new you. And I was like, all right, like, I'm sorry that's your thing, but I got to move on. So, and ever since then, it's kind of taken off. So yeah, that really was the origin story, was thanks to Kevin Bieksa and that goal.
Very nice. Have you ever actually met Kevin after the fact and talked about how it all started?
Very only like I remember it was one time on Twitter where Kevin Bieksa was like blocking a bunch of people on Twitter, and I was one of them. And then one day he unblocked me, and then I got a DM from him that said, "Don't make me regret this." That's the only thing he's ever said to me. So I don't know if he has regretted it. I'm not blocked yet, so I assume he hasn't. But yeah, that's my only interaction with Kevin.
See, I have a goal, and I started it last week, and I'm like, Kevin Bieksa is going to come on our show. He's probably one of my favorite players of all time. So. And I keep saying it, Kevin, I know you're listening to our show. We're going to get you on one day.
You're going to get him. You got to keep pressuring people. You'll get this. I know you will.
Yeah. Hey, look at you.
Exactly. I'm here for that same reason. I told you no 1,000 times. And then
But then you found out we were wrestling fans.
And that told me, yeah, fans. Hey man, if we can talk Razor Ramon, I'm in, right? That's all it takes.
We actually met the fake Razor, and I became fans with him.
That's friends amazing. That was one of the lowest times of my wrestling life, because I actually thought back when I was like, I thought he was coming back, and I'm like, what the? I've never been more angry at wrestling when I saw a fake Razor. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Do you remember that, Jake?
I don't remember most of that. No, yeah. I was very young at that point in life.
You're lucky. Yeah. It was a bad time.
So let's talk hockey.
Yeah. Can I refuse? I'm not going to refuse. Yeah, let's talk hockey. Yeah. No, guys, I'm not talking hockey.
No hockey on a sports podcast. Yeah. We're not going to do it.
Yeah.
No, I just kind of wanted to get your take, Wyatt. I mean, 18-9-1 to start the season.
Yep.
Kind of a slower November than the fireworks we saw in October. But what are your general feels around the team?
I think everyone, like, that first month, like, that's the most fun I've had covering the team in a long time, and the cities, and because the fan base has been fighting each other. Like, it's been incredibly disheartening and depressing even to cover, and like, people are yelling at the writers, and like, I know Drance revels in this, but I'm sure even he would admit to being a bit burnt out to having just like all these yelling and fighting. And then to have the kind of team come out, like, I think this market's at its best when it's attacking another market. Like that 2011 vibe when everyone was like, you know, fuck you, Boston. That was like, that was the height of our, and the entire world basically. I remember in 2011 when they were like, yeah, man, like Boston plays the right way. Like, fuck off. Like, are you kidding me? That was such a garbage kind of like system back then. But I think, yeah, the fact the team starts off so well and like everyone's like, this is nice. And I think everyone, you know, we all knew like regression was coming, right? Like they played so well, everything's going their way. It was bound to come down to earth. And the fact that they kind of handled that coming down to earth the way they have is also kind of, you know, that's a positive thing. Like they didn't go on like a 10-game losing streak. It wasn't 8-game. Yeah, sure. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. But, you know, they're keeping afloat. They're keeping pace. And they're setting themselves up for maybe another upswing. So they're handling the downswing of the season, actually, I think, rather remarkably well. And, you know, they've had their moments. Like then that New Jersey game, for me, I was positive that was going to be the start of a bad stretch. Like, oh my yes. God, lose that game. Like that fucks their head. We've all been there at a game we've lost. Like, oh my, you can't get out of your head, right? Like that's rough. But they bounce back and get two wins in like games that weren't easy. And it's like, you know what? That's, I give credit to talking to the coaching staff like that. No offense to Bruce Boudreau, but it really did feel like your drunk uncle was on the team having a good time. And we all enjoyed it, like good offense. But I think the structure of talking has worked. And it's funny because he is kind of from the coach Travis Green school of discipline and stuff. But for whatever reason, like I think talking kind of, I think he gets the market better too. Like I think he reaches out to the player and talks to him. Like he does, he almost over communicates. Like his pressers are must watch. Like I have done and covered this team. I could not stand Travis Green's pressure. I didn't even bother going to them. I'm like, just send me the quotes. I don't care. Boudreau was fun, but you didn't learn a lot. It was kind of hockey talk. Talkic will sit there and actually talk to you about the hockey and the strats. And like Daniel Wagner will ask him, like, what do you mean by scissoring? Like he'll explain concepts and stuff. Like you learn from Talkic. Like I love him just in terms of like just listening to him talk about the game of hockey. And it's been so much fun.
Well, and there's been so much talk, especially with Kuzmenko on, well, he's not getting in, like he's F1 and he needs to be where it is. And so many people are like, what is F1? Like learning about the different pieces. And it's nice because I've been watching hockey for 30 years and it's like, oh, okay. So that's what that means. And that's what he's looking for out of that. So then when you see it happening, you're like, that's what we're looking for. It's really nice and refreshing from a coach.
I mean, he's teaching the market hockey. And like, that's the thing. Like we've all watched hockey. We all have good knowledge of hockey. But there's something about sports fans, and I think that's what a lot of females found coming into the sport. Like, if you don't show you don't know something, you get this big wave of like arrogance from people. And like, so, and I try and point out when I don't know something, because like, I'd rather people know, like, you don't, like, we don't know everything. Like, people say they are liars, right? So I'll openly admit, I didn't know that. And so when you talk about a play online, I remember last night, it was a good example of like the line changes, Ian Cole and Quinn Hughes. Like, there were venomous fights about who was at fault there. And one guy comes out, like, are you fucking stupid? Do you know hockey? Because I was like, I said it was like Ian Cole's fault. I'm like, relax, man. Like, people get so like just angry and think you don't know hockey. Like, I play fucking in Burnaby. I know hockey. It's like, okay, like, everyone knows hockey to an extent. But like, the high-level strats the Canucks are using, like, you're a liar if you say you know all of them. You are. Like, you don't. And like, some people know more than the other. I have no doubt Harmon knows a lot more than that stuff. But like, listening to talk, it makes us all better in terms of how we watch the game.
Well, it was funny because we had Harmon on our show and literally I was speechless. I just sat there and was like,
yeah, he's a smart kid. He makes me feel dumb and, you know, screw you, Harmon, for doing that. But he's a really good kid.
He is. I mean, I'm almost 60 years old. I've been watching the Canucks since the day they came into the league. I think I know hockey. And then I hear that kid talk, and even my son, Jake, he'll go start talking. I'll be like, what the fudge are you talking about?
Numbers. Well, it's funny because like 4-1 is like one of the biggest causes of like arguments, because people like really like to lean on positional stuff. So like, well, the biggest thing to me that people yelled at me at was when Brock Besser came deep in his own zone one goal and then blew the zone, and people are like, that's JT Miller's spot. But like, Brock was F1. He was there first. You can't just leave your man to go play your wing spot. Like, you're on the scene of the crime. You can't be like, peace out. Like, people don't get like, it's a people, yeah, I'm done. Like, no, that's not how it works. So learning that F1 stuff like that, first in the scene, that's a huge thing for people to kind of get and understand, which is funny to me because like you hear Rick talk and like hit Kuzmenko for that, but yet he loves Jolson. So I need to learn more why he loves Jolson, because Jolson chases hits and puts himself in a position. And like, I find Ian Cole struggling to kind of figure out Jolson's game, whereas Friedman felt a lot more consistent. So like, those are the things I want to learn from like talk. Like, why do you trust Jolson more than Friedman at this point? Right. Like, to me, that's a good question I want to find out.
Talk, it's that guy that you just want to sit and have beers with and talk, yep. Right? That's what he reminds me of. Just
get him on the podcast. Guy. Make that your next goal. Be XO, then talk it. Do it.
Yes. Jake, you're on it.
Yeah.
Hey, I got Wyatt. Come on.
Yeah.
It's fair. It's only fair.
And I told Jake probably 3 months before you agreed to come on the show that I'm working on Wyatt. I'm working on it.
Yeah, I don't get back to people because I'm just like really busy. So it's not like me big timing. I'm just like, I'm so unorganized.
You don't lie. You were big timing.
Yeah, a little bit. I was like, you know what? Sorry, who is this again? Chris Hughes? I don't know who this is. I don't.
I actually commented on your Twitter one time, and some guy, I'm sure it was a random, go, oh yeah, I'm his agent. Reach out to me. And I was like, what's the chances?
That's actually my buddy Jay. He did that as a fun show. I saw that. Thanks, Jay.
I should have reached out and played it up.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Go ahead, Jake.
I was going to say, I was just looking. Sorry, I'm checking Twitter constantly because it's always news happening.
Traded Kuzmenko, right? If that happened while we were talking, I had to go.
Oh, that would be that would be the greatest thing for our show. Yeah. But there has been a lot of talk about Kuzmenko being shopped around. Have you heard anything, or what do you think is something that would be a decent return for Kuzmenko?
It's tough. I mean, expensive wingers are one of the worst things to trade in the league right now. Like, and that's why even when Besser wanted out and Garland wanted out, your odds of you getting something aren't great. That's why they talk about, like, you've noticed, I love Garland. I think he's a fantastic player. But that's why I hear people say, like, maybe they got to add a sweetener to get rid of Garland. Like, people don't want to pay for expensive wingers. So I don't think the market's going to be huge for Kuzmenko. That really does feel like one of those, like, he goes to Detroit, he goes to Ottawa, a team that's like, just needs someone to kind of be a bit more exciting, but they know it's not going to be like an end game piece for them. So, you know, do the Canucks want to move on from that quickly? Like, he has a skill set. He does. Like, he, on the power play one, he's extremely useful. I think it's clear his confidence is rattled. I think we are seeing almost, you know, note for note what happened with Goldobin, where, like, there was a time when Goldobin and Pettersson were like, their stats together were fantastic, but then, like, you just start getting what you want out of Goldobin defensively, and eventually, like, he starts overthinking his offense, and then if you don't have offense, you've got absolutely nothing to give the team. So if Kuzmenko's not supplying your offense and he's now not doing what the coach wants, like, it's a hard spiral to get out of. And like I said, like, I posted the Hoglander backcheck where he was started chasing the forecheck and dove to block that pass. Like, that's never going to be Kuzmenko. And it's not an insult to Kuzmenko, but, like, if that's what you want out of him, he'll never be that player. Like, you've got to find a way to get the offense out of him. And I don't know if Tokic has the patience, because you see that when they ask him questions now, he's frustrated. He's like, I didn't want to talk about it. Like, he's done. And Kuzmenko, who I thought was the happiest guy in the world, even he's lost his smile, to get a little Shawn Michaels in there. He doesn't have the smile anymore. He's sad and he seems frustrated. And it's not to say, like, we all thought Besser was out of here. He seemed like he was done at the city too. Things can happen in hockey. Whatever happens this month can be radically different than next. But exactly. It's hard to see Kuzmenko and Tocchet kind of finding their groove, because I thought it was just tough love at first. But it feels like now, like, fundamentally, they're just not getting each other. And so, I mean, I don't see the trade value being high. So it comes down to, like, do you make the best of it? Because they're paying him a decent amount of money. You got to find something to do with him.
What is his cap hit?
I think it's like $5 million, I believe, offhand. I don't know.
Is it,
like,
okay?
Yeah, it's a solid amount of coin. They seem to lead the league in $5 million wingers. That seems to be their thing. Hit those $5 to $6 million wingers. But, you know, like, I don't think teams are going to be, like, lining up to pay a lot. But it's easy for them to be like, he's at his lowest value. We'll give you either nothing for him or sweeten the pot for us to take him. Like, I don't think they're going to have a lot of room to kind of make a good move there. But we'll see.
Then other moves? Any other moves? Because, I mean, we've seen Trader Jim and Alvin kind of going crazy and being the most active front offices. Trader Jim. That's his nickname. In the NHL, like, there's lots of talk. I mean, Barrett sounds like is basically done with the Canucks, and it sounds like Washington signing is almost imminent. That was a lot of fans' hope.
No, I don't know about that. That, to me, if I'm like, unless Washington's paying him a lot of money, which I can't imagine, that seems all agent driven. That feels like the agent's like, oh man, Washington can't wait to buy this guy. Because, like, if you're Ethan Bear and you want to sign for 1 year, the Canucks are flying. You can get here, you can probably juice your stats a bit. You're playing on a good team. If you still enjoy the game of hockey, unless Washington's giving you a multi-year deal, then yeah, then I get it.
That's the rumors that they're giving him term.
Yeah, I guess because that was the same thing, you know, Zadorov won. That's what we wanted at Calgary. So if he gets the term, fair enough to him. But, like, maybe you just go for 1 year to juice your stats of a good time. I can see that too. But it all comes down to money. At the end of the day, like, if I'm sitting here going, like, you know, I would take $500,000, but if you know $2 million's out there, you know, chase it, right? Like, good for him.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think for, like, they do need, like, Carson Soucy being out. He'll come back. It'll help a lot. But I do think that exposes the defensive depth not being that great. Like, you're relying on Noah Jolson a lot when someone goes out. And the odds of the defense being healthy is just, especially playing on the West Coast the way they are, it's just not going to, it's just, you can't plan that way. And for me, that third line, like, the fact that Garland is such a driver on that line, like, and I've even said, maybe put Kuzmenko with him and see what happens. Like, I want a finisher on his line. Like, I want a third liner that can score, because Garland setting up Dakota Joshua is fine. But Joshua's not a scorer. Like, he does a lot of things well. He's grinding. Like, you saw him, like, kill off 15 seconds on the clock. He's really good in that level. Throws hands.
Amazing.
Right? Like, that's awesome. He's been one of the better bottom six guys they've had in a while. But if you're looking at, like, hey, maybe, like, when a team's really good, they have that third line that can score as well. Not just defend and control the puck, but they can get some points on the board, and they need that.
I'm going to show my age. When did they stop blowing the whistle when the puck's on the boards?
Yeah, it feels like they're like letting that dig along for a while. They're like, kick it loose, it's loose, it's loose for like 8 minutes. You're like, okay, you can blow the whistle.
It's great when we're trying to kill the clock, but when we're not, I'm like, blow the damn whistle.
Yep. Yeah, move it. I'm going to blow it. That's what I want to hear. I don't hear it anymore.
Exactly. Is there any word on when Saucy?
Susie? Saucy?
Susie.
The whatever. Sauce. Call the sauce. When the sauce is coming back.
Have we got a definite date yet?
I don't think we do. I think it's one of those things where, like, I mean, even Suter was supposed to be like day to day, and he ended up being up for weeks and months. So I don't know what's going to happen with Carson, but I mean, that 6 to 8 week was the timeline. That, to me, it's still crazy. That was such a short shot that kind of injured him. That's just, you know, the game of hockey always, and we've all been there. Like, you sneeze the wrong way, your back's out. Like, you know, your body's weird, right?
Yeah. As we get older.
Yeah, right. Especially get older. So I'm sure in hockey, like, the small things can really take you out, but it was surprising. But I think, yeah, for like, if I'm the Canucks, I'm looking to get a defenseman and a third liner. If I think this, like, I don't think, like, I think with the Zadorov trade, that was a perfect example of like giving your team some juice this season, but not overcommitting to this, like, we've got to win now. Like, it's a good way to kind of like, hey, I believe in the team to get in the playoffs, but I'm not going to like destroy the future just for this one run. So I think that was like, that to me is one of my favorite moves they've made in a while.
Have you guys heard much talk about the Flames? We're out in Calgary. We're based out in Calgary, obviously Canuck and Lions fans living out in Calgary, but we get obviously a lot of Flames news with their owner kind of interfering and on that Zadorov trade and saying, no, you can't trade him to Edmonton or to Edmonton, to Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I've heard, like, I won't say much, but I hear lots of stories behind the scenes of like owners being more intrusive than you would think. And that's why you see online people like, the owner wouldn't do that. I'm like, no, they would. They would. Like, they end of the day, they're rich billionaires. Like, it's their toy. They're going to have a say in what they like. Some will listen more than others for sure, right? They're smart to be like, hey, you guys go cook. But some aren't so hands off, and that's going to happen, right? So it's, you know, obviously there are some things that aren't true that get out there, but there are some things for sure you sit and you're like, yeah, that seems par for the course, what I've heard.
Wow. That amazes me. It just shocks me that they would get that much involved and say, no, you can't trade them.
Okay, we've all been there. We're like mad at someone in like in high school, like you can't be friends with him. This just happens at a billionaire level. That's what it is. Yeah, exactly. You can't be friends with Toronto. No.
It's insane. Anyways, we won't keep you a whole lot longer, but I do have one burning question.
He's been talking about it for like 3 weeks now.
Okay.
Who is the devil?
Isn't that Wardlow? Someone pointed out Wardlow, like the boots were the same. Like, I think someone had like cool stuff. Like, that's the same boots Wardlow wears. So, yeah, okay.
And then it looked like a tag team that potentially has like a bald guy and a guy who normally has hair.
Yeah.
Something like FTR, maybe.
Do you think they brought the Pinnacle back?
Oh, I wonder. I don't know. AEW is really interesting to me because like it is like so good but so bad at times. I don't know. Like I really want to love them, but like I feel like I do feel like, I don't know. There are pros and cons of WWE and AEW that I could probably talk to you guys about for hours. And I think I kind of like, because like I think the structure of WWE is much better. But when I watched the first show when Punk came back, I was so bored. I'm like, this is such a by numbers show. You had the entire world watching. And that's what they went with. Not even no swerves, no nothing. I don't need the adjutant. I don't need to swerve every match, but they gave you no intrigue of any kind. Like, yeah. I was blown away that they either believe in themselves that much that, like, hey, we're going to make money regardless, or they just don't care about storytelling. I couldn't tell which. But, like, AEW, for, like, for all their cons, they are trying to tell stories. Like, to me, Christian Cage, I can't get enough of what he's doing, man. Oh,
I love it.
The so fact that like the Iron Claw, like don't get Christian Cage or Von Erich there, like it's just like social media perfection, right? Like,
yes,
it's so good,
so good. And I mean, again, I go back probably 50 years to wrestling fan, back in the Gene Kaniski days of All Star Wrestling in Vancouver.
Yep, yeah.
So I've seen it all. I've seen it come and I've seen it go. When WCW went and now AEW, and I'm a wrestling fan again.
Oh, it's fine. I'm involved, like, you know, with the local scene at Nation Extreme Wrestling. I'm involved with them. That's been a lot of fun. And there's so, like, I never knew much. I knew indie wrestling was a thing, but I didn't know much about it. Then my buddy Bowman took me to the first show at the Commodore back when ECCW was around. And I was just blown away by, like, just, like, the crowd reaction. And, like, when the Bollywood Boys came out and the entire crowd was chanting Butter Chicken, I'm like, this seems really racist. But the Bollywood Boys, that's their line. They were encouraging it. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. We're fine. So I was really concerned for a second. Like, how racist are we?
And it was all good. Like the racist rednecks.
I'm like, what? Yeah, I'm like, I don't understand. I don't. Am I in Abbotsford? What's happening? But it was fine, and they're on board. It was all good, and so we had a lot of fun. And like ever since then, I've kind of gotten more and more involved. And like now I'm with Nation Extreme, and like there's so much talent here, and you're seeing them kind of appearing on like dark. Like when AEW comes to Vancouver, you're going to see a bunch of local talent on the dark show and kind of wrestling there. And I'm so excited for them.
Jake, we should go to Vancouver for that one.
Well, I was going to say they announced another AEW announced another. Canadian tour, so
yeah,
Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, and I think a couple out east as well.
Yeah, if you ever get out to a Commodore Ballroom show for NEW, you should. January 27th, it is 900 people. It's louder than anything. It's one of the best venues, regardless if it's wrestling or music. It's so much fun, guys. And I'm not even saying that because I'm involved. I'm just telling you as a person, it is so much fun.
Nice. We went down with at the Pavilion here in Calgary for
Dungeon Wrestling.
Dungeon Wrestling.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah.
It was a blast. We had a howl. It was good.
Yeah, we got Taryn from accounting, is a great wrestler. She's from Alberta. She flies down in for the shows, and I love her. Like, yeah, nice. There's a lot of good talent crosses over from Alberta. So,
and that's at the Commodore.
Yeah, Commodore Ballroom. It's on January 27th, and I remember
the Commodore Ballroom. That goes way back.
Great venue. Honestly, it's got the best acoustics in all of Vancouver.
Oh yeah, it would be cool. Sir, thank you so much for taking the time. I promised we'd only keep you 20 minutes, and we're almost exactly at that point. So thank you. We'd love to have you back somewhere down the road as the season gets, we get deeper into this season.
Yeah, just reach out to my agent. You've seen him on Twitter, so he'll look it up for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Wyatt. We will talk to you later.
Thanks, boys. Have a good show.
You too. Thank you so much.
That was Wyatt joining us. He writes for Canucks Army. You can find him on the Twitter machine or X or whatever you want to call it nowadays, at The Stanchion. Just an all-around great articles to read, all-around great
guy. We should have asked him how he pronounced his last name so we could actually...
Yeah, that would have been smart, but we're here now and we're going to be moving on. We talked about it a little bit with Wyatt, but again, the Canucks just keep on rolling.
They do.
I missed the game on the weekend. This weekend, I was.
You call yourself a fan?
Hey, look! When you have someone who calls you an uncle turning two, apparently you have to show up. So you show up.
Fine.
I know. But the Canucks do end up going 2-1 this week with gutsy wins. A shocking gut punch almost against New Jersey to start the week.
That was scary. I agree with Mr. Wyatt there when it was like, oh, fudge. Here we go. It's going to cost us and we're going to end up, it's going to get in our heads.
Yeah. And because we had that, the momentum, we had the comeback, and then 30 seconds to go, again, just a gut punch.
It was lower than the gut. I'm going to go with a nut punch. It hurt. Okay. Because when they tied that up, poor Allison was sleeping, and I jumped off the couch and then, of course, went into an immediate coughing fit and almost died. I could have died, you know. I would have been by myself because Jake wasn't here.
Yeah, God forbid I have to go to bed at a decent time to work.
But yeah, that one hurt big time. And then we went into...
No, the Wild came to Vancouver because we're on one of, if not the longest home stretches of the year.
Yeah.
And the structure that we continue to talk about from Rick Tocchet, that was a structure win against the Wild.
And you know what? You could see it. You could literally feel that right from the literally the puck drop to the last whistle, they played disciplined hockey and they played the Tocchet system, if you want to put quotation marks around it.
Yep.
And it freaking worked.
Well, and not just that, but we got scoring from Nils Höglander and Teddy Bluger. Guys who aren't lighting up the scoreboards. They're doing a great job at what they do, but they're not lighting up the scoreboards. Those were the only guys who got goals. Like, it, fantastic display from our bottom six, but also our top six didn't look disengaged.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? And then from the updates I was getting, the game on Saturday night was just a gutsy win by the Canucks against the Hurricanes.
Yes. A game we probably didn't deserve to win, I'm going to say. Just the... We didn't play our top level game, I'm going to say. But talk about your top guy, top two guys, Miller, and the Miller goal was... I just love that kind of slap shot goal where he comes in off the bench and just nailed it. And then the wraparound by Mr. Number 40 was just so good, right?
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, again, you look at it, Pettersson had 3 points, Miller had 3 points, Garland had 3 points. Oh, no, sorry, that's shots on goal. Never mind.
Way to go.
3 points. Lafferty and McKayev had 2 points each. So your top line is doing what they're supposed to.
Yes.
The second line is doing what they're supposed to. Like, again, this, it feels like the entire team is doing what they need to do to win.
Yes.
And there are games where even if you're not playing at the top of your game, and people have been talking about it with Pettersson, is that something feels off with him. And I don't know if it's an injury, if it's a confidence issue, if it's playing with guys he's not 100% confident in, like in a Sam Lafferty. But he's not making those dekes. He's not making those spectacular plays. And we're still winning, going 2-1 in a week.
Yeah.
It's really a win-win-win in that sense, right?
And come on, if we went the rest of the season winning, going 2-1...
We'd finish first. Like, literally, we'd be close to first in the league.
Hell, if we played 500 for the rest of the season, we'd probably be happy.
Like, honestly, if we play 500, we're what, 20, math is hard, 28 games in. That means there's 54 games left. We get 27 more wins? Like, that's what, 54 points?
54 points added to what?
Are 37, so we're at 90. Math is hard. 90,
but it basically puts us into it, puts us into the playoffs.
92 this year, I think the playoff bar is going to be lower than it normally is.
You think so?
I mean, yeah, looking at the, like, I mean, you've got the Oilers,
yeah, they're coming on strong though.
You have the Predators who have 30 points. And the Coyotes, who have 28 points, are 13-11.
So they're going to be like 90 point.
They're going to be low 80, low or high 80s.
Yep, to low 90s.
Which, I mean, that's lower than your normal 90s. I think it's 94.5 is the normal playoff bar. So I think it's going to be, it's all around, it's going to be easier in the Pacific to get into the playoffs. My only concern is, it's going to be almost impossible. It's going to be very hard to catch the Golden Knights.
Yes.
Who are first, which means we're playing the Kings in the first round. And I don't like that matchup.
No, would we?
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good.
Like right now I'd have to check it up because it's been many years since I've been in the playoffs. We've been in the playoffs, but I'm pretty sure Golden Knights and Jets would play the two wild card positions. And then 2 and 3 in the Pacific play each other, and 2 and 3 in the Central play each other in the first round.
Is it? I thought we thought they set it up and 1 played the bottom, 2 played the...
No, because they changed that with when they brought in the wild card.
Oh, I don't like this.
Yeah, so it's... Because now you get 3 from the Pacific no matter what. It's just not the top 8 teams in the West.
Right.
It's 3 from the Pacific, 3 from the Central on the West side, and then there's 2 extra spots, and those are just best record out of any team in the West.
Right.
Best remaining. So, huh. Yeah, we could end up playing the Kings in the first round, which is a hard match, a very hard matchup.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's a long way off, and we're talking.
Not.
Well, I mean, it is. We're a quarter of the way through the season. We're,
yeah, and you know how quickly this season
quarters of the season left.
And you know how quick this 3 months has felt now that we have winning hockey?
I mean, we have 75 games left. Or so. More than, well, no. 60 some odd games left.
No, we have 54 games remaining.
That's a lot.
It's really not.
Jake, we're talking April.
Yeah, so, okay, let's just break this down because you're, it doesn't, yeah, April seems a long ways away. We're already at the 11th of November.
December.
December, sorry. We're, next week we'll be talking about how Christmas break is coming and there's a roster freeze and nothing's going to happen.
Right.
Then we're going to be so busy personally because of New Year's, Christmas, all the family stuff. All of a sudden, it's going to be the middle of January.
Whoa. Like
that's how quickly it's going to happen. You're going to blink, and the next time we bring up this conversation, you're going to be like, oh, man, we've only got 20 games left. We should be looking at the playoffs.
This is you. This should be you for a second. Listen, what happens during the holidays that you just kind of glanced over? We're going to be busy with family and stuff.
Sorry, the World Junior Championship.
Thank you.
Which I hate that it's in Europe. I do. I really do. And I know they need to. It's a whole thing that we can go on about. But
damn Europeans.
No, the Europeans people are great. But I want to see the numbers as to where the World Junior Championships do on TV. Because I guarantee you, the numbers you're getting in Canada when they're in Europe are a lot smaller.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Because not everybody's a fucking fanatic like you and I are going to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch a game.
We've done it. I mean, for the Olympics, we did it. I remember Sochi Olympics. We went over at, I want to say the game started at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. And we went over to a house party to watch the gold medal game.
Yes. That was, we went over to Barkhouse.
Yes.
Yes.
I was like, I don't remember where we went. I just remember going there and it being way too early.
Well, it was funny because I was looking at the schedule and I was like, how often do we have to wake up to be able to watch all the games? And so I put the schedule up. And so the Finland game is early at 6:30 our time.
Because Finland is hosting.
Yeah. So it's 6:30 a.m. our time.
Then so that's 5:30 Pacific time, correct?
5:30 Pacific, yes. And then the next game on the 27th is 11:30 our time, 10:30 Pacific. Then the next game is 11:30 our time, 10:30 Pacific.
Which doesn't sound bad.
And then the next game is 11:30.
Which doesn't sound bad, but what days of the week are those?
Well, and that's what really bugs me because, like, I'm going to miss, like, three of those games, I think.
Because of, like, people have to work.
Yes.
Like, I'm lucky enough that I basically have a week off between Christmas and New Year's.
Yes.
But not everyone has that luxury because I'm going to probably be able to watch most of the round robin games, if not all of them.
Yeah.
The only one I think I might miss is the...
The 26th is a Tuesday, so then the 27th is Wednesday, 29th is a Friday.
So like,
yeah.
It's still a pain in the butt. It's not a great schedule because then you get into the playoff rounds, the actual tournament portion of it, and now who knows when you're going to be playing. And I'm sure they're going to accommodate Canada because we are one of the biggest nations that watch it, but 11:30 on the 3rd, I'm at work.
I would rather have that at 5:30 in the morning so we could watch the game.
Literally. I hope maybe this is a clip for social that we should talk about. Double IIHF. Let's listen in here.
Lean in.
Put those games on as early as you possibly can for Canada. Yes. Because then we can wake up early, drink our coffee, maybe put some Baileys in to keep ourselves going throughout the entire day and deal with the craziness that is always the New Year's. Every company deals with it. And then we can go to work with a slight buzz. No one's going to know. People will just think we're buzzing from the hockey game when Canada wins. But everyone's happy. Just think about it.
From Jake to the World Juniors.
Hey. I mean, speaking of the World Juniors, something that was announced, and I don't know if we talked about it at all. The net guards in all double IHF games, net guards are now mandatory.
Yeah, I read that, which, actually.
Which includes the World Championships, which is, as we fondly call it here, the Loser's Cup. Because when you lose the Stanley Cups, you go play for the World Championships. It's a loving, we're affectionate so bad name. But it's true. Like, there's a reason why it's not considered on the same level as the Olympics or World Juniors or the World Cup of Hockey, if they ever bring that back, and it sounds like they're going to. But it's during the most prestigious cup playoff in hockey.
Yes.
If they moved it 6 weeks into the offseason, probably get way more respect. You're probably still not going to get all the players you want because some of them are going to be dealing with injuries and everything like that. But you're probably looking at it in a very different light.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, everywhere you're going to need to wear neck protectors now, which is, I think, a good thing.
You know what? People, I remember when helmets weren't mandatory.
I remember the official for the longest time, and it was just one of those things. He was the last remaining official that didn't have to wear a helmet. What's his name? His hair slicked back. Like, there was enough gel that if he fell down, the gel would have protected him, I'm pretty sure. But
I can't think of his name, but I know who you're talking about. He had the best hair in hockey.
Yeah, because he was the only one who had hair in hockey. Everyone else has a helmet.
I can't think of his name. I will think of it. I will get back to you, folks. If you know who we're talking about, put it into the chat and Jake will look at it, because I can't.
Yeah, there's some technical issues on his end today.
But like I say, before Jake put me off on a tangent, I remember when helmets weren't mandatory. And then I remember helmets being mandatory and people losing their mind. It's going to ruin the game. Sticks are going to come up and it's going to be horrible. There's going to be way more stick work. Was there? Yeah, there was for a little bit. But now it's normal. Of course you're going to wear a freaking helmet. Are you stupid if you're not going to wear a helmet?
Even just recently, the introduction of the visors.
Right.
And they did it a smart way where they said, again, just like the helmets, you're grandfathered.
Yes.
At this point, boom.
Yeah. And right? I bet you sooner or later, it's going to be a full cage. And that's going to be grandfathered in.
I don't know about that. Like, the full cage to me is the only issue I have with forcing people to wear a full cage is visibility.
Yep. That's what they said about visors too.
No, they didn't. The visors were always...
Vision. I can't get used to it.
See, this is something you should talk about with... This is something you should talk about with your... the guest.
Terry Fraser. That's it. I can see the chat.
See the chat. Thank you. Thank you, Dom, for chiming in there. Carrie Fraser.
Dom's the guy with the hair.
I'm assuming Dom Googled that. In that picture, probably.
He looks... He doesn't now, does he?
No. No, he's got long, long hair now.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Dom, are you a freaking hippie?
I wouldn't say hippie, but got very sidetracked there. I was in the middle of trying to say something and now it's completely gone. ADD, folks, it's a wonderful thing. But back to the Canucks, because the Canucks schedule upcoming is quite scary. But before that, Roberto Luongo, when the Panthers come to town, I believe, and I'm pulling it up here because I want to make sure I am correct, on Thursday is being inducted into the Ring of Honor, which I think is a mistake, but he's being introduced into the Ring of Honor. As I put at the bottom here, should his number be retired?
No.
His number shouldn't be retired.
No.
What's your argument
there? He didn't win me a fucking cup, okay?
Neither did Burry. Neither did the Sedins. Neither did Linden. Neither did Naslin. Neither did Smeal.
So none of them should.
So that's your argument, is no cup, no jersey retirement. So let's take all their numbers down. Anyone can wear 22, 33, 10, 16, 12, 9.
No, you can't take them down. Once you retire a number, it's retired. Have you ever seen a number unretired?
No, because we haven't gotten there yet. Eventually, we're going to have to go to triple digits with the way some of these teams are.
Well, that's why I say you can't. You have to stop at a certain point. And that's why you have the Ring of Honor. It's the same thing as retiring the number.
It's not semantics. The same thing.
It's semantics. It's a label.
It's very different because one is saying, hey, you're good enough to get a thumbs up from us and a good job. You'll always be a Canuck, forever a Canuck, but you're not good enough for us to remember you by not allowing anyone else to wear your number.
It's funny. Jake remembers my love-hate relationship with Roberto Luongo through the years. And I was reading Facebook today. Facebook memories. I love my Facebook memories because it just shows how immature
I was. How irrational you are about your hockey.
It's like, holy crap. I'm surprised I wasn't kicked off Facebook many years ago from calling people fat pigs to the whale to... what is this guy doing in net? I mean, what has he done for us? Except take us to like the Game 7 of a Stanley Cup final.
Game 7 of a Stanley Cup. And then like 3 years later.
Gold medal.
Yeah. But he doesn't. He's not. Choosing number one is pretentious, let alone retiring him. I don't agree with that, Dom. Well, you know why he chose number one, right?
Why?
Because he never wanted to see himself below anyone else on the depth chart, so he was always number one because he was the number one goalie. Literally, and he's talked about it. That's the reason why he chose the number originally.
We should have got into this with Wyatt, because Wyatt is such a character, plays such a character on Twitter. And so does Luongo, as people who don't know, Roberto Luongo is behind...
Strombone,
and it came out, and nobody knew who Strombone was for the longest time. But everybody there were hints
towards it for years.
It was,
but
awesome.
I don't think it was until he officially retired that he came out and was like confirmed it was him.
But he's never really confirmed it was him.
Yes, he has. Yeah,
has he actually? Yeah.
Yeah.
So good on Roberto. Hate the way he left. And you can see I'm choosing my words really carefully because fuck, I had a love-hate relationship with him when he played for us. I watched the highlights of Bingo Bango Bongo, it's Roberto Luongo.
Bingo Bango Bongo, it's Roberto Luongo.
They showed highlights of his saves and he was such a, he's like just all over the place. Like he's upside down and backwards, kicking his legs up.
Whenever Houston I think it was Houston that would mainly use that, used it, it was because it was a desperation type save.
Oh, and it was always because he put himself in that situation. And he used to drive me freaking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And if anybody has followed me on Facebook for any length of time, they must remember me just berating the bastard. But having said that, you got to give him his due. One of the best, if not the best. Oh, I can't say it.
There's one other answer. Who would be close to being better than Roberto Luongo?
Richard Brodeur.
It's the only one who's even close.
Yeah.
And I still think there's a gap between him and Roberto Luongo.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Like, yeah,
Captain Kirk took us as well, but he wasn't the star level. I don't think that Luongo was.
Probably not, even though. Kirk would have been in the 90s, 94 playoff, was when we went on that run.
Game against 7. The Rangers 94, yeah.
Yeah, because we went 84 with Brodeur.
And the island against the Islanders.
Yeah, we lost 4 straight.
94 against.
That's when we went to game 7.
Yeah, and then 2011, because the year that in theory we should have made a really deep run was a lockout year.
Yes,
that's my theory and I'm sticking to it.
So, I mean, is he the greatest goalie to ever put on a Canuck uniform? I guess that's the question. Is he?
To me, he is.
I don't want to say it. I really don't want to say it, but I can't deny it. I can't. There's no argument. Like, there's no way I could argue with somebody intelligently and say he's
but your I'll just say your feelings aside.
Yes. My hurt feelings, 2011, the whole him being benched against Boston, they were in his head. Like, Boston was in his head. Right?
That's, I mean, that's a discussion for another time. I think there was a lot of factors, including the amount of games that he played that year. Like, I think there was many, many factors.
When you're as big as he is, I guess you can't play that many
games. But, we also were depleted defensively. We were, depleted.
Roberto, if you're watching, I love you. It's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, he loves to hate you. No, there were so many different things that happened in that series that you can't put it all on Roberto's feet.
But you know I can't just come out and say he's the greatest.
I you know what? I can clip around that, and we've got he's the greatest. So I'm happy we can move on now.
Okay.
But so going back to this, you're totally against retiring numbers anymore.
Yeah, I think it's old school, and I think it should be Ring of Honor is, because like you say, 20 years from now, are we going triple digits? Because we have to. We're running out of numbers.
At this point, you will have to, right? Right. Like, if you're retiring, and not to take shots, but if you're retiring every Smeal, Linden, Naslund, Sedin's, Burrays, there's going to be a lot of those players. Like,
could you not retire then Roberto Luongo, Quinn Hughes,
if Quinn Hughes, JT Miller, Brock Besser, they play their entire careers with the Canucks, you have to retire.
What about Kevin Bieksa? Is his number going to be retired?
How can you retire his number when his number was originally Pat Quinn's?
Yes, right. Like,
who's more deserving? And not that Kevin anything about Kevin Bieksa, but when you think Kevin number Bieksa three in Vancouver, three. You think of Pat Quinn.
No, you think of Kevin Bieksa number three in the Danchenko goal.
I don't think so.
I actually went and Googled it and put it on Wyatt's because he posted the goal, a random goal. I think it was us beating Chicago for the first time.
Dragon Slayer goal, yep.
And then the Stanchion goal was to get into the Stanley Cup Finals in double overtime. It brought back a lot of memories. And I was hung over there for a minute.
All the players thought that the puck had gone out of the ice.
There's players pointing to the nets.
If you go back and watch it again, you can see the ref shake his head no and go to point as the puck then starts the weakest game-winning goal I've ever seen. Completely
muffed. It was a knuckleball. It was like a blah, 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 blah.
And just bloop, bloop, bloop.
And it just, like, there was about that much room to get into the side of the net, and it just barely got there. Like...
But that was, like, at that point in Canucks land, that's what Canucks luck was. Like, they're, don't get me wrong, the remaining 40 years before that, we had no luck. It continued on. But at that point through the playoff series games, there was multiple times where a puck would hit a stick, bounce right into the front of the net, and a goal would score. So that was just par for the course for the Canucks. That was,
yes.
We had 40 years of bad luck. We had 1 year of good luck, and we thought it would take us to the promised land. One game short.
Could have been contenders.
But we could be contenders this year. We have a tough schedule this week. We have the Lightning, Panthers, Wild, and Blackhawks coming up this week. We have the Lightning tomorrow, Panthers on Thursday. Both those games are at home. The Wild on Saturday, an 11 a.m. start Pacific time for the Saturday game, and then a Sunday game at noon Pacific time.
Yikes. In Chicago.
It's not terrible because, like, Minnesota, Chicago's not a long flight, but it's still not ideal.
I'm thinking we're going to go. Originally, I said 2-2 before we came on the air when we were talking about it. I'm going to revise that. And here's my thoughts.
All right.
We're going to beat the Lightning.
Bold claim. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to beat the Lightning. We're going to have so much drama around the Panthers game because that's the one where Luongo is going to be there. And that's going to be a shutout for us. I'm sure Demko is going to play, and we're going to win that one 1-0.
Okay, so we're beating the Lightning and the Panthers.
We're going to then have a letdown against the Wild.
The Wild, where more than likely DeSmith will play.
Yeah.
I got it right. DeSmith will more than likely play because he has never lost to the Wild in his career.
Yeah, I think we'll lose that one. We'll have a letdown. And then we'll be pissed and go into Bedard land and kick Bedard's ass.
So you think we're going to go 3-1 with a shutout in there against
the Panthers.
So I say you've been on a roll, so I'm not going to hold it against you until you.
We got a clip coming up, Jake. Clip time. Lightning. We're going to win. Panthers, not only are we going to beat the Panthers, we're going to shut them out. And then we're going to lose to the Wild. And then we're going to go into Bedard land and kick some Bedard ass.
I do like the name Bedard land, and I don't know why. Like, it sounds better than Chicago. I say we get lucky this week if we can go 2-2.
That's what I said originally. Yep.
Yeah. If we can go 2-2, I'm very happy with this week because the Lightning and the Panthers are both going to be hard games and a back to back against the Wild and Blackhawks, which Chicago should be a win, but on the second half of a back to back, there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the Wild showed us this past week, they're not a team to take lightly. So I think you're bold in saying we're going to win against the Lightning and Panthers and lose against the Wild, but
you said it was bold saying I would go 2-1 this week, and I was right.
You were. That's why. I mean, I can only fight you so much on things. But
hey, I'm the medium. The medium knows.
No, you have a big nose. That's what they say about.
Oh, it. Is that what they say?
Yeah, it's a big nose. Not that you know.
I knew it was something around that.
Do you have anything else for the show this week? Because I've got nothing. I'm out.
Have we heard anything from the CFL about anything?
No. I've been disconnected from the CFL, so I keep you
BC.
Up on...
BC. I knew there was something in my head that I wanted to talk about.
I asked you earlier, and you said no, so...
Yeah, I know. BC announced today the return of their entire coaching staff. Every single one of them. Has been renewed.
However, Ryan Phillips has been promoted to assistant head coach.
Yes.
Which basically, from the reading of the tea leaves, he should be the next one to take over when Campbell? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Rick Campbell wants to just be GM. Phillips can step in and be head coach.
And I think you'll see a lot of that happening this season. Like in 2024, you'll see him taking control of the bench more and more, which is awesome. That's the way to do it, right?
I mean, that's what the Stampeders did with Dickinson when Hoffman was getting ready to step aside, right? Like,
exactly.
I think the days, and it might be something that's more so behind the scenes in the CFL with the Edmonton situation, not being able to fire anyone. But if they are removing or exponentially increasing your behind the scenes staff salary cap, that you might start seeing separate GMs, head coaches again, because it's too much for one person to be the general manager of a club and then also have coaching duties on top of that. And it's why you're not seeing trades happen in the CFL. You're not seeing proper general manager duties happen because they have to be most of them are coaches and general managers.
Yeah. I wonder how many. I'd have to go and look, but I would say more than four.
I would think over half.
Yeah. I'll have to go and look. I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah.
So
that's my news from the BC Lions land. Coaches all returning. The promotion of one.
Other than that, I've got nothing else.
We're good.
We're good. Next week will probably be our last live show for 2023. We're discussing what we can put out on New Year's Day and Christmas Day. Because let's face it, on the first, I'm going to be useless.
Oh, yeah.
So, and on the 25th, I'm not going to be anywhere near this whole setup. So,
and there's going to have to be some changes coming in 2024, due to scheduling of, the old man. So we'll have to
figure that out and discuss it, but it's not the first time we've made a schedule change. It probably won't be the last time we make a schedule change. So keep your eyes out on our social media. You can find us everywhere. Twitter, X, whatever the bloody hell you want to call it. I'm getting there. You can find us at HSP_pod. TikTok, Facebook, all that stuff. You can find me on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it at JStreams, J-E-H Streams. You can also find me on Instagram by the same name. I'm just making the old man wait. And you can find the old man. The old man is now officially on the Twitter at OldManHSP. After months, weeks, almost a year of asking him to change it, he finally did, which is why if you listened to the live show and if you listen to our podcast, we have a new intro song.
We do. It was exciting.
He asked me for a new song and I basically held out until he decided to change the name on Twitter. Change the name on Twitter. Look at that. Things happen.
And we shortened the song, so it's not like a 10-minute fucking wait to the show start.
A whole 2 minutes. Normally, Jesus. We start at 2 minutes before we start. However, technical issues today and trying to figure all that out, it was, oh, crap, we're starting. But
and just so you know, we haven't figured out our technical issues. It's still.
I have. Yeah, I have.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll tell you. I figured it was a bad time to talk about it while we're on stream here.
Probably a good idea.
Human beings, thank you so much for hanging out tonight. If you're listening on YouTube, drop a comment if you are think anyone would like this. Wow, I can't speak. If anyone would like this, please do send it to a friend, share it everywhere you can. And the old man has information here.
Wyatt got back to me about his last name and it's pronounced Arnt.
Arnt. All right, there we go.
The D is silent.
This D is silent. So many comments going through my brain right now. But you beautiful people, have yourselves a wonderful night. We will see you next week. Mwah, and goodbye.
Did you just say see you next Tuesday?